Hello, it's Friday, August 11th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. This has been one of the most intense, one of the most exciting weeks we've ever had here at Wing TV. First of all, we'd like to thank everybody out there tuning in today, and also everybody that bought the book 9/11 Evil. We released this book last Friday. It was the biggest print run we've ever done, and already we're going to have to go into our second print run after just 1 week. So what this basically saying is that people want the truth about 9/11, and as it says on the cover of this book, it's the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written. And next week we're going to do a show telling you why it's so dangerous. So keep tuning in, and if you want to cut through the bull, if you want to cut through the BS, this is the place to be. Tell others about it. Now, the last 4 or 5 weeks, there's something been going on that we're referring to now as the Sam Danner story. And our intent today isn't to bash, to slam, or to attack anybody, or should I say most anybody. We're going to be objective during most of this interview with Russell Pickering, who our guest is today. We're going to go over the timeline, we're going to go over the facts, and then in the end, Lisa, myself, and Russell is more than welcome to, we're going to give our subjective opinions about what took place here. So, to start off, I think the best way to frame any argument is to let the person involved, or the object of the debate, it's best to focus on their words. Let them speak for themselves. So what we have here is a couple real quick quotes from Mr. Sam Danner. These can be found on the Wing TV homepage that shows that he was lying about being at the Pentagon on the morning of September 11th when the Pentagon event took place and that he didn't see
a global hawk.
A global hawk. So here's the first one. This is from an interview we did with Sam Danner last night at about 8:45 p.m.
Right. Last night, Victor asked Sam Danner this question. On the morning of September 11th, 2001, at approximately 9:37 a.m., were you at the Pentagon when the Pentagon event took place? This is Sam Danner's response. No, sir, I was not at the Pentagon. I was at my home in Hagerstown, Maryland, watching, I guess, the first tower get hit. Now, that continues on, and You'll hear the rest of that in an audio clip.
Right. Now, the second excerpt comes from Dylan Avery. Everybody knows him from Loose Change. This comes from his forum. It's from August 8th, 3 days ago, 2006, 9:15 p.m. I am Sam Danner, Matthew Danner's father. What my son Matthew has told you is very true. I was at home when the World Trade Centers were hit. Yes, I got my son out of bed and we watched it on TV. I lied to you, the seeking public, on the truth about 9/11. I did not, and I repeat, did not see anything hit the Pentagon. I lied about the whole alleged crash. However, my encounter with Pentagon officials stands. This next one comes from emails from Sam Danner to his son, Matthew.
As you well know, I sent you and Pickering and Piper and Chris, that's, I guess, Christopher Bolin, an email saying that I lied about the whole thing.
Okay, so there's another instance. Now, this also, and I'm going to just let Lisa give her own view of this. When Sam was talking last night during our interview, and he brought up the Global Hawk. And Lisa, just kind of recount what took place during this conversation.
Well, why don't I just read what he said?
All right.
He said, I just have a wild imagination, but it made the story complete. Because if I said I saw the thing come around, this unknown thing, and because I've got other people, other 9/11 truth seekers, wanting me to see a global hawk, that's what they wanted me to see. So then I asked Sam, let me stop you right there. And I said, Sam, who wanted you to see a global hawk? And Sam Danner said, you really want me to say that? And so I said, yeah. And he said, Eric, and I said, Hufschmidt? And he said, yes, begins with an H, Hufschmidt. So I asked him again, he wanted you to see a global hawk? And Sam Danner, I mean, you can read this in the article, but to excerpt it, he says this, Eric sent me this picture of this thing, and that jet engine reminded me of a cruise missile. I just went ahead and felt more or less a psychological pressure. He didn't say, Sam, this is what, you know, you've got to say, you saw this. but I felt that this is what I was supposed to say I saw. It flowed good with the story. I can't blame this man. You know, I'm taking the rap for this, but, you know, I guess I was helped out or edged on a little bit.
Right, so, and I think the imperative phrase there is that he felt psychological
and
pressure.
And let me ask you, too, I did ask him if Eric sent him pictures of any other type of aircraft, and he said no, just that particular device.
Right, now, to read more about this and to get the links, there are two stories on the Wing TV homepage. One from Wing TV, the other by our guest today, Mr. Russell Pickering. So we'd like to welcome Russell to Wing TV. How you doing, Russell?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, Russell.
All right, we did that brief intro. Let's set this up. First of all, Russell Pickering runs a site called PentagonResearch.com. He's meticulous in his research. We said he had the best research 9/11 site last year in our Wing TV Awards.
And we still think that.
Right, and he does damn good work. He's not one of these people that's fly-by-night. He's not a cowboy that just comes out shooting without the facts. So, set this up for us, Russell. How did Sam Danner come on to the 9/11 scene?
Well, the one thing actually I want to back up and reinforce the way you said in your intro there, you know, in retrospect, now that Sam has spoken, and the viewers aren't aware of our private conversations, all of us are approaching this with respect because it's also affected a family.
Right.
And this is all being done with full knowledge from Sam and his permission. And permission from his son, because as much as anybody, Sam wants this over.
Right,
so,
and he's very contrite, too.
With that said, everything we're talking about, like you said, is not to slam anybody, but Sam wants it done so that he can get out of it, quit getting harassed, and just, you know, move on with his life.
Right.
So the way that I first became aware of it was I'm a member of the Loose Change Pentagon Forum, which it's turned into a really great group of people cooperatively researching various aspects of 9/11. Excuse me, sorry. So what happened was on the 10th of July, I went to that forum just on a daily check to see if there were any new articles, and I first became aware of the situation there. So I linked to Eric Hussmith's first interview with Sam, and as I began to listen to it, just a bunch of things just cropped up.
Well, let me stop.
In my mind, you know, having some knowledge of what was going on at the Pentagon that didn't reconcile.
Well, let me stop you there for a second, Russell, and let's go back in time. Let's look at how Sam Danner first came on the scene. The first person that he contacted wasn't Eric Hufschmidt, but it was Dylan Avery. Is that correct?
Yes, as I understand it. Now, for me, this is all secondhand. Well, actually, no, it comes from Dylan, but yes, so the first attempt to express his story was a contact with Dylan, which Dylan didn't feel the story resonated very well, so he passed on it. And then I'm inferring that what Sam did was move on and find Hushmet, who then responded to Sam and published the story.
Okay, so then the first interview with Sam Danner was with Eric Hushmet, is that correct?
The first published interview I'm aware of, yes, that is on Eric's website.
Okay. Then, after you heard the interview, did you think that this was credible, or did it raise suspicions in your mind?
Literally within 5 minutes, red flags were flying, and I just effectively instantly knew that something was wrong. So I posted a little conservative response that, hey, you know, keep an eye on this or something to that effect. There's some things, let me take a look at it. So my first response posted there, and the links are in the article where you can see the forum there and what I posted. And then I started documenting minute by minute throughout the first 19 minutes of the interview. When I hit the 19-minute point, I was 100% without any question certain that this story was fabricated.
Okay, let me ask you this. So did you contact Eric Hufschmidt after the interview and explain your concerns to him?
I did not contact Eric directly. My first response was to Michael Piper and Christopher Bolin, and that was because I have so much respect for Christopher's work and the reading that I'd done of his articles, and I was just afraid that if you know, this got out of control, it would reflect poorly on him. Now, Michael Piper, I'd never listened to his show before, but I've heard the good things that you guys have said about him. So I also emailed him, you know, to give him a caution. Then in my exchanges
Okay.
Now, in your article on the Wing TV homepage, it's called The Sam Danner Story, you very meticulously go over this first interview done by Huffschmidt and really take it minute by minute, all of the inconsistencies. I know we don't have time to go over the entire interview, but if you could, give everybody a highlight or the inklings of suspicions that arose in your mind when you heard this. What stood out is not adding up?
Well, the first thing, approximately 4 minutes into the first interview, his, you know, description of the aircraft just didn't sound like it was coming across in a pilot's terminology. And then, you know, from there, it's like you say, it's just so complex. I've literally taken notes on probably 7 or 8 hours of interviews. But the first 19 minutes just hit me with quotes. Like he said, he was so close to the Global Hawk, he felt the air from it. We could go on. Then his description of being able to count the light poles being impacted, even though he had mentioned that the thing was doing 400 miles an hour in his mind. Just little facts. And then geographical errors, like he was saying he was on 395 facing west at first. And then obviously he had read the descriptions of the aircraft at the Pentagon doing a 270-degree turn, which has actually turned out to be a 330-degree turn now that we got the flight data information. But I could tell he had read 270 degrees, imagined where he was sitting, and tried to describe that maneuver based on what he imagined it would have done. It was 100% inaccurate. So then they called the Piper Show when Sam was on and questioned him, and suddenly the location of 395 was retracted, switched to I-27 or Washington Boulevard, and then he tried to reimagine what it would have looked like from there, and that didn't come across very well. So just, you know, throughout, I can just say geographical errors, you know, there's just so many things. Like I say, it's just so hard to describe. That's what just caused me then to, you know, begin to document things and try to get people to, you know, consider the possibility that might not be true.
Right. And the only intention that you had was to keep the investigation of the Pentagon from getting distorted any more than it already has been. Let's talk a little bit about this photo that he claims to be in, the one where there's a line of people picking up debris on the Pentagon lawn and there's a red arrow pointing to a guy who's supposedly Sam Danner. Get into that, will you?
Yes, that photo, from my best estimates, I looked at it. If you look in the top left half of it, you'll see that green fence covering that appears to be the construction fence. Sorry about this, my throat is all jammed up.
Okay.
It appears to be the construction fence there near the generator. And it's a line of FBI agents picking up debris. They're all wearing jackets. That original story was that, and he described it in great detail, a white EMT shirt with badges and pins and so forth on it. But then later in the Alex Jones interview, he described it as an ambulance jacket. And the Alex Jones interview was one of the last interviews in the chain of interviews. So my impression was that Sam had become aware of the various challenges that had been made by me and others throughout this process. And because that photo showed somebody in a jacket, he changed his story to a jacket. The key part of that is those pickup lines did not start to occur until probably around 12:15 and beyond on the 11th after the last fires were extinguished at the towers.
Okay, Russell, let me ask you this quickly. Is Sam Danner an EMT? Why would he have EMT clothing?
Yes, he was certified as an EMT with the state of Maryland, but he let his certification lapse, but technically he was not a certified EMT at the time.
Okay.
So he kept the clothing, my guess is, so that, you know, I mean, certain people are drawn to these types of things, and that if he had the clothing and there were fires, and he mentions several times going to fires and accidents and different types of things, so I believe, you know, he wants to be a part of these types of events, obviously so because he drove all the way from Hagerstown down to the latter part of what was occurring at the Pentagon, and then in one of his interviews, he was going to go from there up to Shanksville as well.
Oh, gee. Okay, now, one of the big bombshells of this story came when Matthew Danner, Sam Danner's son, entered the picture and said, wait a second, everything that my father's saying, or a lot of what my father's saying, isn't true because he said he was at the Pentagon at the morning of 9/11, he saw, allegedly, a global hawk strike the Pentagon. But in fact, then Matthew, his son, said that he was in bed at his father's house. His father came in, woke him up. They sat and watched the entire episode unfold on TV. So, Sam is saying he was at the Pentagon when in reality, he was actually at his home in Hagerstown, Maryland. So, pick it up with Matthew Danner entering the picture.
Okay, Matthew, I received an email at, like 1 something in the morning from a name I didn't recognize, and it was Matthew contacting me and asking if I was the Russell Pickering he had seen on the Pentagon Forum on Dillon's site.
Uh-huh.
And so I responded yes, and then through a dialogue, now he was using an anonymous name, testing me effectively to see if I could be trusted. And he expressed his distress about what was going on, and then finally identified himself to me in an anonymous email, again, with a pseudonym, said, I'm his son, and this is how I feel. And, he was very stressed. Imagine feeling like you need to tell the truth to America, and feeling like you're also betraying your father. So then he started emailing me in his, proper name, and then he started a thread on the Loose Change Forum, explaining who he was and telling the story. So when he entered the picture, it threw the whole thing. And then one night he called Michael Piper and stated who he was and what the truth was. And this would be a good point to back up Michael, because some of his guests have criticized him for having too much on Sam Danner, but I want to praise him for honest journalism. He became aware of a story. He brought it out, which you should. This could have been a very important story.
Right.
And Michael has allowed, Christopher and myself and Sam and his callers and Matthew and everybody fair time. And he truly followed through on this to the point that everybody could surface out of this and find out what the truth was.
And let me,
I think that's important to mention.
Right. Let me jump in here because Michael called me a couple nights ago and he said, after a long conversation, he said, you can quote me on this. He said, if Sam has misstated anything, he should come on my show and admit it. He says, then he would tell Sam, well, I appreciate that because it takes a big man to admit when you're lying. And so you're right. Michael Piper did allow all points of view in this
right.
on his show, and he should be commended
now,
for that.
Now, I want to ask you a question, Russell. I didn't get to ask you before when we were talking about it. When you emailed Christopher Bolin about your concerns, what was his response to you?
His response basically kind of represented some skepticism about who I was and if I was maybe trying to interfere with his witness and trying to, take away something that was true from the 911 truth movement. So it more kind of tended to turn on me.
Yeah. Well, let's turn now to Eric Hupschmidt. And I know you didn't originally contact him, but it seems like he was he was the first person to run with this story. At some point, you did contact Eric Hupschmidt and voice your concerns about this story. Did Eric seem willing to accept the fact that not only wasn't Sam there, that he didn't see a global hawk, or did he keep pursuing this story and pursuing Sam Danner?
Well, clearly, all you have to do is read Eric's page on me, which I am going to publicly ask for a retraction. Then his interview with Sam Danner recorded Sam's defense against me. Effectively, Eric almost implied that I manipulated these voicemails and planted them and edited them on Matthew's phone. I will just say that Eric's response has not pleased me, and part of my efforts following this up will be to regain the credit that he is trying to take away from me as far as what my intentions have been and the work I've done.
It's my understanding, talking to Matthew Danner, that Eric Hupschmidt was actually feeding these ideas into Sam Danner's head about you.
Well, yes. It's from Sam's point of view, now that he's talked to me and emailed me and stuff, now that this is all over, it seems that That's the case, yes, that at least one and possibly two individuals were feeding him information to make him suspicious of me and stay away from me.
Yeah, well, you know, rather than look at the inconsistencies in the story and how the story doesn't hold up to serious scrutiny, they're looking at you like you're doing something wrong when you're not. You're just asking valid questions and raising valid issues.
Yeah, and this article that Russell's referring to is called Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fight Between the Danners Has Begun. Even the title itself, it's like Eric Hufschmidt is playing a little game
like
with this whole
thing. Like trying to promote division between the father and the son.
And throughout this article, he's saying stuff that, what if the voicemail messages had been edited, blaming thing on Matthew's son for editing, saying that Sam was lying. Then he brings all these questions in about Russell. He's blaming on some kind of sex network. He's wondering if Matthew is being blackmailed, on and on and on and on.
Oh,
and it's preposterous.
Speaking of editing, I am going to make the disclaimer. When I recorded the voicemails from Matthew Danner that he played for me on the phone, I did edit out pregnant pauses. I edited out references to Mrs. Danner at the request of her son, Matthew Danner, because he doesn't want her drawn into this whole thing. And there were some redundancies of speech, like, but you know, that Sam kept repeating throughout, which were not necessary for this recording and had no pertinence whatsoever and didn't change the context
we're gonna play that at the end of the show, but the length of it was over 15 minutes,
right.
So it was edited down for time, and as Lisa said, she's freely admitting this. So, all right, Russell, so the story goes on and on and on, and it's been, what, 4 or 5 weeks now? And
yes, July 10th, I believe, was the first notice of it.
Right. So what are your overall impressions now? Because hopefully this will bring an end to this whole really debacle is what it's become. What are your overall impressions? And then we're gonna get into a little bit of our subjective thoughts on this. You know, we wanted to get the timeline out and the facts and so forth. But what has this done to the truth movement? I think one of the best things you did, or one of the best pieces you wrote, was you said that if the truth about this matter doesn't come up, if the truth isn't exposed, then people could be quoting these lies for years and years down the line,
right.
And we can't have that if we want to have any respect as journalists and researchers. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are a little bit of surprise. Like I said, I didn't just say I don't think this is true. I supplied very solid evidence, including calling the FAA and verifying that he, in fact, was not a pilot, as he had claimed and other people had claimed based on what he had said. It was really solid from the beginning that somebody should have backed up and said, hey, you know, wait a second, let's look into this. Instead, it was turned on to me. And I think that's a tendency with all of us to want to find some evidence, to be inclined to interpret things a certain way. I think all of us in the 911 Truth movement, now that the pressure is really on, they're upping the ante, there's so many documentaries coming out, there's the film on the towers, children's book on the 9/11 commission report, all the ceremony and things that'll go around the 5th anniversary. The media campaign is out of control, but at the same time, we've come back with equal force. The 911 commission people have admitted the errors in their investigation. So there's a really important battle going on, and for us, we have to find a higher level of journalistic credibility than the mainstream media. So if something comes to us, let's stop, let's look at it, let's question it, let's investigate it, let's not jump on it, because that all of a sudden becomes another straw man argument. I learned my lesson. Before Carl Schwartz ever published the whole A3 theory, I was in dialogue with him, offering him research, support, photos, etc., and I finally said, hey, this isn't right. Told him about it. He rejected it, went on. And I stepped back because I was kind of new and I wasn't as confident in what I understood about the situation. And next thing you know, the A3 theory is in the version of loose change. The scholars included it in a paper. And it just became this whole scandal that in the end has gone away now because there's no evidence for it. So when I heard of this, I just decided, look, I've learned my lesson once. I'm not going to let this take off and destroy the good research that many people are doing, focusing on the straw-man argument.
Exactly. That's very well said. And, you know, we don't have to be the first to always break a story. What we need is to raise the bar. We say all the time on Wing TV, we need to raise the bar higher.
And we do need to be careful to be right in the things that we do report.
Because it's so easy for the mainstream media and the detractors to pick up on something like this and say, oh, you know, like a Tom Flacco story or whatever with Barbara Olson. You know, it's just preposterous. So, Russell, what we're going to do right now is we've covered the timeline. We've gone into some of the facts. And, of course, everyone should read Russell's article because it is a very extended look at Sam's interviews and all the inconsistencies.
And it's very thorough, and I think that it will give you a very clear picture of what happened with this issue.
Now we want to bring in a few of our own personal opinions on this, and who we think is the culprit. And Russell, after Lisa and I jump in on this, if you want to, you're more than welcome. Lisa, we're going to start with you. And what are your thoughts on who you think the real culprit or driving force behind this whole three-ring circus is?
I don't know what the relationship exactly is between Eric Hupschmidt and Christopher Bolin. I very much like and respect and admire Christopher Bolin. I think he's a very credible journalist who spent years building up that reputation, and he has that reputation for a good reason, because he is one. I have come to change my opinion on Eric Hupschmidt over time. Ever since he started hanging around Daryl Smith, I've watched the quality of his work and the kinds of things that he's putting out just plunge through the toilet. I don't know what exactly Eric thinks he's doing by putting out stuff like this and attacking credible researchers like Russell Pickering. I don't know what he stands to gain from it, and I don't know what he's trying to do to Christopher Bolin. I have a sense that he's trying to discredit Christopher Bolin by feeding him bad information. I don't know what other explanation there could be.
Well, and I concur with what Lisa's saying. First of all, reading Eric's articles lately, there's so much speculation, innuendo, accusation. It's all reckless, unfounded, baseless, and irresponsible to the max.
Yeah, and we just want to say we respect and admire and like Russell Pickering very much. He's one of the first people that we go to when we want feedback on the Pentagon.
Yeah, and what Eric does in his articles is he lays all this massive innuendo there, but when he gets interviewed live, then he backs off.
And he unravels.
And he unravels, and what he does is he has this very pronounced passive-aggressive technique to him, where he's very vicious in his articles, but then when he's live and when he's confronted, he backs off. And I'm going to say these words, it's a very sissified, hysterical approach. I mean, one person described him as a shrieking woman.
Well, he acts and like he's the one being attacked.
Yeah.
But that's not the attitude he takes or the tone he takes when he's going after somebody in his writing.
Yeah. So what he's doing with these articles is he's muddying the water, he's leading people on wild goose chases, and he's damaging people with no evidence. He's done that to us. What he does is he ghostwrites articles for Daryl Bradford Smith. One of the big ones was that he called Lisa and myself Jews. We numerous times told them that there's absolutely no proof of this because we're not Jews.
And he wouldn't retract.
And they have yet to retract it to this day, and that is cowardly beyond cowardly.
Well, let's see who he's damaged now. He's damaging Christopher Bolin. He's damaged, or he's attempting to damage Russell Pickering, and anybody with a brain is going to see through that crap. He's tried to damage us, our credibility.
Dylan Avery.
Dylan Avery and the Danner family. Matthew and Sam Danner and the mom. Why? Why is he doing this?
A perfect example of this is when Eric Hupschmidt and Daryl Bradford Smith blamed the scholars for 9/11 Truth for killing the college student.
Oh, wait. Let's add to that Michael Collins Piper, Stat Miller, RBN, this guy was on Alex Jones' show. So now you've got all these other people added into the mix that fed into this story and put it out there.
So Eric's went from one of the best researchers around to right now to an embarrassment. I think he's completely an embarrassment. And he's doing more danger to this a movement with his articles and his appearances with Daryl Bradford Smith than just about anybody else in this movement.
The question is why?
And the last thing I want to say is that I understand now, and even though we don't promote violence on Wing TV, I understand now why when John Statmiller interviewed Eric Hupschmidt, he said that he would like to knock his teeth down his throat.
No, I understand the anger.
I understand why when I talked to Matthew Danner, he said he'd like to knock Eric Hauschmidt's block off, and even Lisa has said that she'd like to slap him in the face. So Eric Hauschmidt is doing no good to this movement. Russell, your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts, the second half of good research, like I stated earlier, which I think, like you said, we have to raise the bar. My second thought is, you know, retraction is important. And I'll use myself as an example. I'll bet I've had 100 or more erroneous statements or facts or whatever on my website in this process of learning. And when people confront me, I look at it, wow, you're right, I'm sorry, I changed it. If I ever publish anything or do anything that's inaccurate, I'll post a public retraction. That's not a problem because none of us have the full information, so obviously we're going to be wrong at times. So retraction, apology. And the second thing in terms of Eric, you know, I'm obviously very displeased about what he's done and said about me. I told him this, so I'm not saying this behind his back, but and I told him the next statement too is that the way he presented this battle between the Danas with a picture of a ring girl holding up a round number, it's just tasteless. We're talking about a family. We're talking about a marriage. We're talking about children.
Right.
That needs to be taken down. It's utterly ridiculous and offensive. Now, in terms of what people say about me personally in the 911 Truth movement, I've got a little bit of a thicker shell than I originally had, and I don't care what you say about me. But please don't affect the credibility of my work, because if he leaves that crap up there about me on his website, someone else hears my name later, and if I'm saying something valid, then it's discredited. He's not hurting me, Russell Pickering. He's hurting the 9/11 Truth movement, and that is what's important. We have to stop, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, then one needs to ask, why does he want to hurt the 9/11 Truth movement?
Well, I don't, you know... Honestly, I don't even know how to figure out how he sees the world, you know, and I'm not saying that to be mean. So I don't know if it's purposeful or if it's just, you know, a personal world of his own reality. I'm not sure what the mechanism behind it is, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, Eric influenced me greatly at the beginning of my research.
His work, right.
His stuff was very influential and very convincing, and is in part what inspired me to continue on. I mean, in fact, I still have his video and different things saved on my computer from my original research. You know, if I had any message to Eric whatsoever, let go of the bitterness about other people's success. Go back to your original roots, Eric. Go back to the research. Go back to the clear, concise presentation. Start over. Get rid of this last, you know, few months or a couple years or whatever it is, and go back to the person that everybody knows you are, and the person that influenced so many of us to wake up. Just, you know, stop the madness and get back to your roots, Eric. That's pretty much all I have to say.
And I think I should add that he should not only remove these damaging articles and pieces that are unfounded, that are baseless lies, but he should be a man and stand up and print a retraction about not only us, not only you, but about all these other people that he's printed this innuendo and lie, these lies about.
Well, and of course, that includes the Sam Danner story.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Russell, is there anything else you want to add before we close this out today?
Not at all. I got your new book and started on it. I'm very excited. I forwarded on to a couple of people that have ordered it and posted it around on various information sites to let people know about it. One friend of mine in particular is excited. That's about it. I'm going to spend some time reading the book, and I do very much appreciate you guys just putting yourself on the line and the efforts you always do, you know, to set the record straight, and that's about it.
Russell, tell everybody your website again.
It's pentagonresearch.com.
And if you want to go to a site to find out about the Pentagon, in our opinion, that is the site to go to, pentagonresearch.com. It's all right there. So, Russell, we'd like to thank you very much. We're going to be back on Wing TV on Monday. At the end of the show, we're going to have the clip from our short interview with Sam Danner last night, plus a couple of the phone messages, I guess.
Well, it's the audio clip of the voicemails.
Right, right. So, there's a lot to take in here. We hope that this is the final word on the Sam Danner case, because it's been put to bed. I know Russell's tired of it. We're tired of it. Sam and Matthew Danner are tired of it. And, you know, It is what it is right now. So
we wanted to say, too, we thank Sam Danner for standing up and telling the truth.
Exactly. We'll be back on Monday. Everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. Have a good weekend. And keep your eyes open, because there is a lot going on.
See everybody on Monday.
This is Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani from Wing TV. We're talking with Mr. Sam Danner, who's become quite well known in the last couple weeks. We're going to ask Sam two simple questions today.
First of all, we're going to welcome Sam to Wing TV.
How you doing, Sam?
Thank you very much, both of you. I'm doing fine, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, Sam, we're going to get right to it here. On the morning of September 11th, 2001, at approximately 9:37 a.m., were you at the Pentagon when the Pentagon event took place?
No, sir. I was not at the Pentagon. I was at my home in Hagerstown, Maryland, watching, I guess the first tower got hit. Yeah, the first tower must have gotten hit, or, yeah, that was it, because I remember calling everybody that I knew to tell them there's terrible things going on in the nation. And at that time, I did, at the earliest, I think it was a Tower 1 or Tower 2. I don't have this down solid in my memory, but as that was being hit, of course, the other hijackings were taking place. And my wife worked at a newspaper, and I can't name that, obviously.
Right.
And I called her at work, and I said, "Are you aware of what's going on? That the nation is under attack?" And she said, "Yes." And we talked about this plane, the Shanksville incident. I think that was '93.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, flight 93.
You're right.
Oh, I'm right. Okay, I try to get them all right. Flight 93, and she said to me, "Yeah, it came over the UPI." United Press International,
uh-huh.
that it could have possibly had been shot down or will be shot down by F-16s. Now, this is scuttlebutt coming from a newspaper. I can't even tell you her position, but she was up in the upper echelon management, and so then she called. So I was not to say anything, obviously, but, you know, and well,
okay.
Anyway, we still don't really know the truth today, I suppose.
Right.
So anyway,
well, just to be clear,
that,
Sam,
I remember awakening my son. He tells me this part. This is kind of foggy. But I in the meantime, had heard about the 77 thing. This flight 77 is about 9:50 a.m. I think. I hope I'm close to that, if my mind serves me.
Pentagon strike, 9:41, I believe.
Yeah, 9:37.
Okay, I'm not far off there.
No.
It hit this Pentagon, this 757. Well, I've been on these various programs, and somehow it came out that I was a born-again licensed pilot from the age 16 on. Well, that's not the case, and I explained it on Alex Jones' show particularly. And it came across good that I have always flown under flight instructors and taken flying lessons, even recently. But before I got cancer, I have lymphoma. And I never did get my pilot's license, but I was familiar with aircraft. I could fly a plane. I think I could actually do the whole thing. But I was always under, you know, flight instructors. And there were some friends that you weren't supposed to do this, but they let you fly their plane straight and that sort of thing, or make a little turn this way or that. And I have a lot of friends that have a lot of aircraft, so I wanted to put that to rest. And I already have done on several other occasions about being a pilot all that time.
Okay, Sam.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I just want to make it very clear to our listeners: you were not at the Pentagon at the moment of impact. Correct? You didn't see any impact.
I was not at the Pentagon at the moment of impact. I was not on Route 27 South at the moment of impact. No, I did not see a Global Hawk hit the Pentagon.
Okay.
I was not present. I was in Hagerstown, Maryland at the time of the collision.
Thanks very much. I just want to ask you, is there anything you would like to add for the benefit of our viewers or any of the listeners who heard you on Michael Collins Piper's show?
Yes, I would like to say to the public, I don't know how many people would listen to this the time to really discuss that. But I am sorry because I made up to make the story complete, a complete story, instead of just saying, hey, I stopped at the Pentagon when this was going on and did thus and so and whatever. I went ahead and I used to work for Amtrak. I did. I worked for Amtrak, the National Passenger Rail Association. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. The trains that run up and down the Northeast Corridor, they got trains all over the United States.
Right.
They run the passenger. It's a government subsidized rail system, passenger rail. And I had told the story that I had stopped by there. It was not far from the Capitol, very close to the White House at Union Station, and the coach yard where the trains were made up was close by, and I explained that I came up with this story, all right, and it just kind of like came to me. I didn't plan this. It was kind of impulsive. I guess some doctors out there would say, oh, maybe this guy's obsessive, compulsive. No, I don't think that's the case. I just have a wild imagination. But it made the story complete, because if I said I saw the thing come around, this unknown thing, and because I've had other people, other 9/11 truth seekers,
uh-huh,
wanting me to see a global hawk, that's what they wanted me to see. And I didn't even know what they were talking about. I thought it was some kind of a cruise missile tomahawk.
Let me stop you right there for a second. Sam.
Yes, ma'am.
Who wanted you to see a global hawk?
You really want me to say
that? Yeah. Yeah.
Eric,
Hufschmidt?
Yes. Because of an H. Hufschmidt.
Okay. He wanted you to see a Pentagon, a global hawk?
I wasn't sure. I thought it was a cruise missile that hit. This is my personal opinion. But I didn't know anything about, about this global hawk thing. But I had seen a cruise missile one time. I had what they call the Bonanza V-tail. Okay? That was on an airplane that Beechcraft made. It was called a Bonanza. Anybody that's my age, 53, remembers this airplane. Well, it's not that old. I mean, it was back in the 60s, late 60s, 70s, they made this plane, and they had a lot of problems with it, but it had a V-tail. Well, when Eric sent me this picture of this thing, and then with that jet engine on it, that reminded me of a cruise missile.
Uh-huh.
So I just went ahead and felt that I felt more or less a psychological pressure. He didn't say, Sam, this is what, you have to say they saw this, but I felt that was what I was supposed to say I saw, all right?
Uh-huh.
And it flowed good with the story. I can't blame this man. I'm taking the rap for this. But, I guess I was helped out or edged on a little bit, but I'm not blaming
him. Did he send you pictures of any other aircraft or just that one?
No, ma'am. He just sent me pictures of that particular device, all the other equipment that I mentioned, airbuses,
okay,
and all kinds of aircraft. I have all of these pictures because he knew I was an aircraft,
mm-hmm,
collector. He knew I had flown planes. He knew I liked military aircraft. I hung around Andrews Air Force Base. He always took my son there every year for the air show. And, I knew what to look for on certain things.
Right. Right.
And I knew the lingo. Like I said, the engine spooled up. Spool it. Spool up the turbines. That kind of thing. And people that hear that think, well, this guy is knowledgeable. He's been in the Air Force or something. Well, that's not the case. I just, I like jets.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time, Mr. Danner, to speak to our audience and to the audience globally. We get about 2 million hits a month on our site. So a lot of people will be listening to this, and we do wish you the very best with your health and in the future with your family, too.
And Sam, Michael Collins Piper, I was talking to him last night, and he said it takes a big man,
right,
to admit when one is wrong. And, we respect you for coming out now and finally setting the story straight for everybody to know really what the truth is.
Well, God bless you all, and I hope that you're... I want to call it a ministry, but I hope that your work continues. You all are patriots to me, and if there's, now that I've got a real mature and solid look about certain things in life through this experience, it's been very hard on my family.
Yes.
Well, my wife and I are separating, and I have nobody to blame but myself. But anyway, thank you for having me on the show. God bless you all, and I bid you a hearty good night.
Good night, and good luck to you, sir.